Now listen, I need you to pay attention this morning, okay? The Bible says that there was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, in Israel. And Elimelech, being the backslidden husband that he was, listen to me good. He left God's will and went to another country. He left the place of God and he went where he heard that they had food. So the backslidden husband took his backslidden wife with his backslidden boys to a worldly place. I will tell you, first of all, there's not the message, but a warning. You go ahead and leave God's will for food or for money or for better things. It'd be good if you stay with the people of God, amen, in the land of God, with the things of God, with the book of God, in the house of God. He said, well, GE's laying me off, and I hear they're hiring down in Moab, and I think I'm going to go and find me a job with GE in Moab. I'm going to make lots of money. I'm going to get lots of overtime. And I don't think they got a church there, but my family is starving, and they're hungry, and I got to feed them. And so I think it'd be all right if I just, I didn't have to go to a Bible in church no more. We'll pray together. We'll read the Bible together. We don't have to go to church no more, but we'll be religious, and we're children of God. We're Jews, and I think we'll be all right. So backslidden Elimelech takes his backslidden wife, Naomi, and takes his two backslidden children, Mahlon and Chilion, down to Boaz. Bible says they went in verse 1 to sojourn. They're going there for a little bit. Sojourn means just to travel through. Sojourn means that they're just going to stay a little bit, make some money, and come back. You know what I'm talking about. They are only going to go to Moab just for a little while, ladies and gentlemen. Just so they can have enough money to pay the bills, enough money to feed the family, enough money just to get by and have enough to come back and settle down real good back in Bethlehem, Judah. They only went for a little bit. In verse number 2, the Bible says that they continued there. Did you read that? It says they continued there. He liked the money that he was making. He liked the house that he had bought. He liked the clothes, the fine clothes that he got. He liked having steak every day instead of bread and water for 7 days straight. He liked having as much as you could eat. He liked the fact that the cupboards were never bare. He liked the fact that he could walk into a Walmart down in Moab and a Sam's down in Moab and everything was full. And he could have anything he wanted. And he was glad because he was making good money. He said, boy, this is great. He only went for a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. But the Bible says he continued there. And by the way, you think you're going to leave God just for a little bit. You think you're going to miss church just for a little bit. You think you're going to travel and go and visit Moab just for a little bit. And the Bible says in verse 3 that Elimelech dies in Moab. It sort of reminds me about the rich man building his barns bigger and bigger because there's no place to put all his goods. And Jesus said, thou fool, thou didst not know that thy soul is required of thee tonight. In verse number 4 of the Bible says that the two boys marry Moabitess women when God commanded them to marry Jewish girls. Are you here this morning? You go ahead and leave the house of God just for a little bit. You go ahead and stop reading the Bible just for a little bit. You go ahead and stop praying just a little bit. Stay away from the people of God just for a little bit. And your kids and your boys and your girls, hey, your boy is going to marry some girl walk around in a short skirt sometime. That's right. You wear a short skirt, you're advertising that you're a prostitute, amen? You might as well go downtown and act like a whore because that's what the whores wear, amen? You go ahead and stay out of church, and that's going to happen to your boys and girls. You listen to me good. Your girl's going to marry some kind of a jerk who refused to get a job, and she's going to have to go out and get a job by herself, and you're going to see your own flesh and blood, your daughter, go out and get a job trying to raise her 4 or 5 kids, and he's on welfare, and he left her for some other girl. Because you thought you were going to leave church for a little bit. Are you paying attention to me? You thought you were going to visit Moab just for a little bit. Elimelech dies. His two boys marry girls that are not Jewish. And the Bible says in verse 4, they were there for about 10 years. See, they're only gone for a little bit. They're just gone for just a little bit of time, just to pass over the time and get some more money, get some food, and go back to Bethlehem, Judah, and live good, because times are bad back home. Verse 5, the Bible says that both sons, Mahlon and Chilion, now die. So the backslidden Elimelech, who took his backslidden wife, Naomi, and his two backslidden sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and Elimelech all die. And here is Naomi now by herself in a foreign country with two daughters-in-law. And the Bible says in verse number 6 that she heard, while she was in Moab, that God had started to bless Israel again with food. And she heard that there was now food in Bethlehem, Judah. And the Bible says in verse number 7 that she went on the way to return to the land of Judah. She said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of living like in the pig pen. I've been away from home too long. I've been away from God's people too long. And by the way, the Jewish people are still God's people, ladies and gentlemen. And she said, I miss the people of God. I miss the temple there in Israel. I miss going to church. I miss singing the songs. I miss. And I got nothing to show for what I've been here for 10 years. I lost my husband. I lost my two boys. I lost everything. I'm going back home, she says. How about coming home today? Ruth tells her daughters-in-law in the next 7 verses to go back to their own people. And you would think, if she was right with God, she said, why don't you come with me? But she's so stinking backslidden right now, she said, you don't want to come with me. Go ahead and stay home. I don't know about you, but we don't want to chase people away from church. We want to invite them to church. Amen. But she's been away from God for 10 years. She says, oh, you probably don't want to go to church. You probably don't want to come with me. You're not going to like it. They're too strict over there. They got too many rules and too many regulations. Can you imagine Naomi saying this? A child of God? Just like some people you know stay away from God's house too long. They thought they were just going to stay away for a week or miss just one service. Just one Sunday night service or one Wednesday night service or one Sunday morning service. I'll be back. I'll be back, preacher. I just need a break right now. And they're gone for 10 years, ladies and gentlemen. Their husband dies. Two children die. And here she is, all by herself. And here she's so backslidden, she's telling her two daughters-in-law, you don't want to come with me. Hey, sit still, pay attention. You don't want to come with me. They're too strict. But she says, I'm going to go back home. I'm going back home. At least she had enough sense to say that, amen.
Yeah.
Thank God, as you'll find out, she did. And in verse number 16, the Bible says that Ruth, a Moabitess girl, not a Jewish girl, who this book is named after. Are you paying attention to me? She wasn't even a Jew, but the book is named after Ruth. Ruth, the Bible says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So Ruth makes a stance and says, look, Naomi, I love you. I see you. You're different than my people. You don't drink, and you don't cuss, and you don't smoke, and you're not as mean as they are. There's something about you that I like about you. You've been kind to me, and I want to go with you, she says. And she says, fine, if you want to come with me. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? There's something worse than a famine of bread. And that's a famine of the Word of God. The Bible says in Amos chapter number 8, the Bible says, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And that's what we have today, ladies and gentlemen. America's the greatest economy in the world. We have as much as we can. You, any job you want, my, You don't tell me you can't find a job in America today. Oh. Unemployment just went down again, the lowest in 25, 24, 26 years. Yes. The reason you can't find a job is because you're too stinking lazy, amen? Yes. Burger King is hiring. McDonald's is hiring. Go get a mop and mop somewhere. Clean the floors, wash the dishes, and do something, amen? But you're too, pay attention to me. You're too stinking rebellious if you don't got a job, amen? But there's something worse. Listen to me, girl. Pay attention up here. There's something worse than a famine of bread. And that's a famine of the Word of God. You see, Naomi left because there's no food in Israel or Judah. And she went to Moab to find food that she thought was more important, to fill her belly with Elimelech. But God says, we have a famine of the Word of God. And today, you've got to travel far and wide, ladies and gentlemen, to find a church preaching what we're preaching.
Yeah.
Who's standing for truth. Who's trying to do the best they can. Not that we're going to make mistakes, but trying to do what's right. And name sin by its name, amen? And not be afraid to call sin by its name. And not be afraid to tell people there is a real hell, ladies and gentlemen. And there is going to be a judgment, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody ought to stand up and tell the truth, amen? But she left because there was a famine of food. And she coming back now home. Well, when she saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, the Bible says she left speaking of her. So they both came to Bethlehem in verse number 19. And the Bible says this. Now watch this. All the city was moved about them. Did you read that? The whole city of Bethlehem, Judah said, is this Naomi? Is this the sweet little girl who left over 10 years ago? Is this the one who used to sing and used to love to come to church? Is this the one that sang in the choir? Is this the one that used to go soul winning? Is this the one who used to enjoy coming to church and singing the songbooks and enjoy coming to church and Sunday school? Is this the same little sweet Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, because Mara means bitter in Jewish. For the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. How many times, you know, a young teenage girl between 15 and 20 has a clear complexion, smooth face, you know, but you go ahead and drink liquor for 15, 20 years, and you'll see the wrinkles. You'll see the bags under their eyes. You'll see the false hopes and lost dreams in their eyes. Are you paying attention to me? See, they start out real innocent, but sin is very deceiving, ladies and gentlemen. You think, I'm just going to take one drink of that liquor. Just one drink of that beer. Just one smoke of that cancer stick. And he's got you. You've been doing it for 10, 20 years now. And now you got that coarse throat. Hey, those women, they've been drinking at the bar still for 25 years, sound like a man now. You know what I'm talking about. Drinking that liquor, drinking that poison. They are only there for one night, but they stayed in Moab for over 10 years now. And it's been 10 years and 20 years. Are you paying attention to me this morning? I'm telling you, I'm asking you to come back home this morning. I said, come home. Come home. She went out. The Bible says, look at this, verse number 21. Watch this. Naomi's testimony says, I went out full. Are you listening to me? The Bible said, we just started, that there was a famine, and she went for food in Moab, but now she comes back and she says, hey, I was wrong. I was full when I left. And I didn't realize how good it was. I didn't realize how good the house of God was. I didn't realize how good the book of God was. I didn't realize how good the people of God was. I had everything. But the devil done deceived me, and I thought I didn't have anything. And so I left thinking I was going to find food for my belly. I went out full, and the Lord had brought me home again empty. She had a husband, but she thought her money was more important than her husband. Just like you think your your wife is more important. You think your money is more important than your wife. You think your money is more important than your children. You think your money is more important than your wife or husband. You think your money is more important than serving God. That's why you can't pay the bills. That's why you're in financial ruin today. You said, boy, if I could just cheat a little bit and have a little bit more money, I'll get by. Oh, no, you're reaping the curse of God, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Naomi reaped the curse of God. God dealt bitterly with her own testimony. She left full, but she's coming back empty. Her two boys died of Moab. She buried her husband and her two boys in a foreign land, and she's coming back with nothing. Just like some of you this morning. Just like some of you this morning. You here? You're 10 years old? Pay attention to me. You're 15 years old? You're 20 years old? You got everything in the world right here. If you're saved, you got a Bible, you got everything in the world. But the devil's going to deceive you. He's going to come out of you and say, you don't got nothing. Look at what the world's got. Look at their fancy cars and their big houses and their fancy clothes and their big jobs. You don't got nothing. Why don't you go out and make something for yourself? And the devil said, why don't you go to Moab and do something? And be popular, be famous. You're going to leave full and you come back empty 10 years, 20, 30 years later. And some of you can attest to what I'm talking about. I'm talking to you this morning, but thank God she came back in barley harvest. Have you left God's will for greener pastures only to find there was more cow manure over there? Have you left God's strict guidelines for the world's looseness and openness only to find disaster? Have you let your children do anything they wanted and didn't think you had to spank them? Have you wasted all your hard-earned money on liquor, on beer, on cancer sticks, on bingo, on lottery, that filth of the world, instead of giving to God and helping others who are struggling, supporting missionaries, running buses? Pay attention to me. Have you wasted your time by watching Oprah and Springer and movies and TV and videos and junk instead of investing your time and life into God's work and ministry? I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to you this morning. When you could have spent your time teaching Sunday school class, could have spent your time driving a bus, driving a van, helping out in the nursery, cleaning the building, going sewing, going visiting. I'm talking to you this morning. Have you, like Naomi, dreams and goals and aspirations in life been flushed down the toilet because of your mistakes? Have you spent more time with the boys and your wife and children? Have you spent more time with the gossip magazines instead of reading your Bible and praying? Do you wish you could take back the moments of anger and criticism that should have been words of encouragement and reconciliation? Do you wish you had controlled your temper from throwing things and breaking things instead of encouraging people and taking that energy and building things? Do you wish you had brought home flowers and chocolates more often than criticisms, complaints, and crude remarks? Do you wish you had treated your husband like a king and a conquering hero instead of nagging him and finding fault with him in everything he did? Do you wish you could trade all those nasty comments for being his cheerleader, his biggest supporter, and his servant? Do you wish you could trade in your lonely days and lonely nights for times past of the patter of little feet across the kitchen floors or a big bear hug from your husband's arms? Do you wish that those photo albums that you look through while your tears fall on memories of bygone days could come to life out of those pictures? I'm talking to you this morning. I'm talking to Naomi this morning. Do you read old letters and words and wish those same hands that wrote those and penned those words were holding your hands? Have you been to an old-fashioned church meeting before? An old-fashioned revival meeting? I wish they'd never end. I wish you could go back. Do you remember revival meetings where tens of hundreds and thousands of people got saved and people got baptized, where we just read about them in history books. Did you stay home when church was going on week after week, and month after month, and year after year, and the years turned to 10 years and 20 years, and you wish you could do something about it, but now it's too late? Well, Naomi, I'm asking you to come home. Are you bitter and miserable over all your past mistakes and missed opportunities and backslidden conditions, your cold heart, your stiff neck, rebellious attitude, and wish you had listened to the preacher? I'm talking to Naomi this morning. I'm asking her to come back to Judah. When your marriage is shot and your children are gone, can't find work, spent time in jail and hospitals, you have no more finances, you've gone bankrupt, no more goals or dreams in your life, friends you lived with, parted with, committed suicide, and you even thought about it too, I'm asking Naomi for you to come back home this morning. All your hopes are dashed. You don't get to see your grandchildren. Your relatives make fun of you. Have no more friends left. I'm asking you, Naomi, to come home this morning. When drugs and AIDS and alcohol and cancer sticks have ruined your life and your health, you have nothing else left, I'm asking you to come home this morning. Spend all your time and all your money on psychologists and psychiatrists and worldly counselors who hate the word of God. I'm asking you to come home this morning. After you spent all your time reading those porn magazines and rock music and rap music and jazz and blues and country western and contemporary Christian, I'm asking you to come home. Backslid Naomi, and come back to Bethlehem, Judah, where the people of God are, where the house of God is, at the book of God. Well, there is hope for you this morning, because Naomi, even though she lost everything, she came back home. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to be honest with you. If I lost everything, I still want to come back home. If I had no more dreams left in my life, if I had no more goals that I could meet, I'd still want to be with the people of God. I'd rather be in a house of God where people love me. And people call me, it's good to see you, brother, this morning. It's good to see you, sister, this morning. Do we need to sing a song? Okay. I'm asking you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, to come back home. Come back home. The devil's deceived you and said, it's too hard over there, they're too strict, they're too old-fashioned. And the devil says, you can't take it. Go find yourself some other church where they don't preach. They don't have any standards. They don't tell women how to dress. They don't tell men how to get a haircut. Tell the boys to get their earrings out of their ears and have the girls cover their knees. And when I was growing up, a girl to cover her knees, she looked like a prostitute. And everybody stayed away from her because of it. And everybody thought she was a loose woman. Are you paying attention to me? I'm talking to you, Naomi, this morning. Take your Bibles, please, turn to Ruth chapter 4. Ruth chapter number 4. We'll close with this. Ruth chapter number 4. She comes home now. She went out full. She comes back empty. The only thing she brings with her is Ruth. It's the only thing. A Moabitess that most of her people criticized her. Oh, here comes a foreigner with her. You know what it is. You know the stigma. Chapter 4, starting in verse number 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. So Boaz marries Ruth. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. Now watch this. And the women said unto Naomi, watch this. Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he, the son that Ruth bore, shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher, did you read this, of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nursing to him. Can you imagine Naomi? Wasted her life in Moab, lost her husband, her two boys. She had everything back home, but she left it for bread. She now comes back home, and the only thing she's got is a Moabite's daughter-in-law. And she bears him her a son. And Naomi takes this little boy and rocks him. Rocks the baby boy in her arms. He said, this is all I've got left. This is all I've got left for my backslidden days. This is all I've got to show for my last 10, 20 years. This is it. Just a small grand boy, grand baby boy. And verse 17, the Bible says, and the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Had Naomi decided to say, I'm going to stay in Moab because my life is ruined anyway. I'm not worth anything to anybody. Nobody's going to want me back home. They're going to mock me, criticize me, make fun of me. I've got nothing to show for it. My husband died, my two boys died. I'm going to stay here in Moab and just die. I got news for you, King David would have never been born. The Psalms that you read would have never been written. Thank God, a backslidden woman decided to come home. You know, I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to come to a point in your life where you think you're not doing anything right. Everybody knows. And you're going to think it's not worth it. Everybody's making fun of me. I'm being criticized. I can't do nothing right. But come home. Come back home. You don't know what the future holds. You don't know what's going to come out. That little boy you lead to the Lord next year may be D.L. Moody. Maybe Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Maybe Lester Roloff walking down the street. He's not going to ask you, where did you spend the last 20 years? How was Moab? That little boy needs to get saved like Jack Hiles needs to get saved. Don't let the devil think you're washed up and you can't be used because God's dealt bitterly with you. Come back home. It ain't over. Come back home. Don't quit. Don't stop. Just take another step. You take one more step and God will push you the rest of the way. You say, I got nothing to show for it. Naomi didn't have nothing to show for it, but she came home. She came home. That's what counts. She came home. Ladies and gentlemen, if I lost everything I've ever worked for, I'd rather die with the people of God. When I got saved, this verse in chapter number 1 was my verse. And Ruth said in verse 16, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what the future holds for John Cletus. I don't know what the future holds for you. But I do know this much, that God wants us to reach somebody, amen? That my time and your time is not up on this earth, amen? And I'm not going to allow the devil to deceive me or allow him to deceive you from thinking it's not worth it from finishing the course. Even if your kids don't turn out right. Even if your marriage is ruined. Even if you don't see the grandkids no more. Get a Sunday school class. Get a bus. Go soul winning. Knock on somebody's door and get somebody sick out of hell, amen? Friend, one day I'm going to lay my burden down in heaven. One day it'll all be over, friend. One day I'll kick up my feet and I'll relax for the first time and the last time in my life. But I'm going to tell you, it'll be worth it all then, amen. Hey, if you got a good family, God bless you, man. Keep your family. If you got a good marriage, keep your marriage, amen. But don't you ever quit, because somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. Thank God the backslidden Naomi came home. Thank God David was born because Naomi came home. Everything she lost, but she came home. I'm asking you this morning to stay home if you're home, but come home if you're not. I'm asking you to read your Bible. I'm asking you to pray. I'm asking you to come to church. I'm asking you to go soul-winning. I'm asking you to live right. Let's pray. His bowed eyes closed. His bowed eyes closed, no looking around. Yes. I don't know everything about your lives. And I obviously don't know what's going to happen in the future of your lives. But I know this much, it's been true in my life, it'll be true in your life. The devil's going to want you to give up the ship and quit. Because your hopes and your dreams have all vanished away. And you can't see the end of the tunnel, and you say it's not worth it no more. Well, earthly speaking, it may not be. But if you look it down from heaven, ladies and gentlemen, God's put you here to speak to someone. Rachel, turn around. God's put you here to touch somebody, to help somebody, to encourage somebody. You may not know who it is, I may not know what it is, but they're going to cross your path, ladies and gentlemen. I ask you to come home tonight, this morning. I ask you to come back to Bethel, the house of God. Come back to the time when you used to love reading your Bible. Come back to the time when you used to love going to prayer. Get your prayer closet at home by your bed, and getting on your knees and just pouring out your heart to God. I'm asking you to come back to that, please. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray if anyone's not saved this morning, I pray they get saved. I pray they wouldn't put their trust in a church, in their religion, in their baptism, in anything else except in Thee. God, if they're not truly born again today, I pray they'll get saved. If they're not saved from hell, I pray they'll get saved this morning. And dear God, if they've never been baptized in a Baptist church, after they got saved, they need to get baptized today. I pray you bless them. And dear God, I pray that, Lord, every person in this room, I know we don't have many people in here this morning, but Lord, I pray that every heart will be open to coming back home and staying home if they're home. But even if they do make a mistake, even if they wander a little bit out of the way, I pray they'll always come back. It may not make sense. They may not feel good about it. They may feel embarrassed. They may feel hurt. They may get criticized. They may even get mocked. Lord, who knows if another King David will be born. Another Jack Hiles will get saved. Another Lester Roloff will get saved. Another Bob Gray, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, D.L. Moody, Jonathan Edwards, Billy Sunday, J. Frank Morris. I wonder who will be next to get saved if we just come back home. Oh God, please bless the invitation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you come as the piano plays. In a about anybody else. You come home today. Don't be talking to anybody else. You get things right with God this morning. Thank you. Chris is praying. If you're not saved, you get saved this morning. If there's a decision you need to make, make it this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Come home this morning. Come home this morning. In your songbooks. 283. No talking, please. No talking.